And today's episode sponsor is MoveBot. Data migrations are complex and irritating, creating days of frustration from setup to cutover. MoveBot was built from the ground up to fix that. MoveBot is the simplest, fastest tool for moving files and emails that there is. Fully hosted with no infrastructure, no virtual machines, none of that complexity, sign up, connect, scan, and you'll be moving data in minutes. Move data like a pro at atmsp.link/MoveBot.
So I was down in Boca this week, hanging out with my parents, trying to be a good son, you know. And the worst part about being in IT, honestly, is trying to take care of my parents' technology, because like I don't want to treat them like a client, because they're like, you know, they're my parents. But like, and my all in fairness, my dad is over 80 years old, and like he's like, my iPad doesn't work, and I have to go, okay, thanks for submitting a ticket. What's wrong with your iPad? And you know, it's like, it keeps telling me this thing is wrong. And I'm like, what thing? You know, like it's literally like pulling teeth with them sometimes. And I never want to take care of their stuff. And it's funny because years ago, back when I had my development company, I was on a podcast and there was a commercial for a product called Bushel, which no longer exists. It's actually now Jamf Connect. And the advertisement was, take care of your parents the right way, remotely, with Bushel. And that has stuck in my brain for like 13 years. I put my dad's phone and his iPad in my mobile device management, thought I got this on lock. What did he do one day without telling me? He took it to the Apple store because something wasn't working, and they just wiped his phone out and took it out of management. I couldn't control my dad's phone anymore.
Yeah, but then, you know, every once in a while, they actually come up with a legit problem, right? Like, I had one, this was probably 2 weeks ago, my dad called me up, similar situation, right? But this time, it's because he couldn't print. Right. Now, I know, one of the most common problems in our industry, right? I can't print. But in this case, Windows had updated, right?
Yeah.
And evidently they didn't have a new driver for his printer. And so the printer just disappeared.
Poof.
And so
like,
I had
like
to go
Kaiser Soze. Yeah. Sometimes it's a legit problem. I mean, when my dad says to me, he's like, oh, I was having a problem and I don't want to bother you, so I called so-and-so, I immediately just yell at him. I go, do not call whoever it is you think you're calling, because I know for a fact you don't know where their phone number is, and you Googled it, and you just called the first number that Google comes up with. Let's backtrack. Not even my dad, but years ago, I had a client who I told her one time was like, we're going to put you in Backblaze on our next visit. And she decided to like, screw me, I'm going to do it myself, whatever. And so she called Backblaze, and she calls me up. She goes, I'm not going to use Backblaze. What kind of pricing is this? And I was like, what are you talking about? She's like, they said it's going to be $48,000 a month to back up my laptop. And I'm like, in what world is it $48,000? And I looked, and she showed me the phone number that she dialed, some 800 number. Obviously, it wasn't Backblaze. And I Google searched that phone number, and that phone number listed as Backblaze tech support, Apple tech support, Dell tech support, Gateway tech support, HP tech support, Sloman security tech support. I'm like, you got scammed. Did you give him any information? No? Cool. Here's the real website. It's $9. Let's move on with our life.
And this episode is also brought to you by SuperOps. Imagine a world where managing your IT services is not just simpler, but smarter. SuperOps unifies professional services automation and remote monitoring and management into one seamless cloud-native solution. Say goodbye to juggling multiple tools and hello to operational efficiency like never before. With AI-driven automation, intuitive project management, and comprehensive IT documentation all in one place, SuperOps is designed to empower your team, streamline your workflow, and elevate your service delivery. Ready to transform your IT management? Discover the power of SuperOps at atmsp.link/SuperOps.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to All Things MSP Podcast. My name is Justin Asgar, and with me always is a very sleepy Mr. Eric Anthony. Eric's tired because he was traveling this week, so He's just going to sit here and look pretty for the rest of the episode while I talk some stuff about
that. Is not true. That is not true. The sleepy part is true. And I will give a shout out to all my friends who were at CompTIA CCF who made my birthday a very happy event. It was a lot of fun. But I still get to ask the questions this week.
That's fine. Go get to ask the questions. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Actually, we're going to talk a little bit stuff from the CompTIA event, right? That's what you decided we're talking about, Boston.
So one of the things that we did at CompTIA CCF was they unveiled the new State of the Channel report for 2024. And so, you know, Carolyn April, Seth Robinson, you know, all shared a bunch of information from the report and what that report is talking about. So Justin and I thought we would talk about that a little bit today on the show.
Mostly you thought about, and then you gave me the website and I looked at it and I said, I could do this. No problem.
Yeah. But, you know, still.
I like keeping it real. I want the listeners to know what it's really like to be here on StreamYard with you at any given time. I want you to feel it. So we're going over the state of the channel. And, you know, there's some interesting factoids in here. More than half, 63% of the channel says that we're better off today than, I guess, yesterday. Or I guess that's against COVID, right?
Probably. And
the fact that it's the post-pandemic. Now we're in post-pandemic times. It's now 2024 PPE, post-pandemic era.
Well, yeah, because it does say their business is in better shape than it was 2 years ago. So
right.
You are correct, sir.
And I think that's a mix of a couple of things. I think if you are an IT company, whether you're break, fix, hybrid, MSP, doesn't matter. If you're an IT company and you've made it this far and you had started prior to the pandemic, because I know a lot of people did not make it through the pandemic. And I have a lot of friends and colleagues and people I know on Facebook and things like that, that just couldn't convert their business to a pandemic model, I guess you would say. If you've made it this far, yes, you're in a better place because a lot of your competition just went by the wayside on its own, right? So more business for you, which is great. There's also something to be said about your tenacity to be able to like get through the pandemic. And I think we've talked about this before on another episode where I said, I remember, you know, very shortly into the pandemic, somebody sent a message in one of the many, many, many Slacks that I'm in. And they were like, hey, I'm thinking about sending this to my clients. And it was like, hey, this is the time to start thinking about VPN. And I was like, no, it's not. This is VPN was something you should have about years ago, not in March of 2020. So needless to say, most of those people are out of business. So yeah, I think a lot of us are in a better place. My company certainly is because we took advantage of people's companies slowing down and our momentum keeping up to be able to do things like acquiring them, which was a major part of our growth over the last 3 years. So yeah, I think for sure I'd be a member of the 63%. I'm going to make it 64 with me. I'm a whole percentage point for
there
this.
There you go. You're a whole percentage point. So what about this one though? Because a lot of people know how I feel about the abundance mentality in this industry. Mm-hmm. And yet the next statistic on the list that we're referring to is 49% say competition and pricing pressure are top inhibitors to revenue growth and profitability. I for a second here, I'm going to get on my soapbox. Okay. Because competition, I adhere to the abundance mentality, right? I think there's enough small business customers out there that there's enough business for all of the MSPs that serve that market. But here's the other thing. Here's the other problem I have with this one is pricing pressure. Mm. Pricing pressure comes about when you have a commodity. You only have a commodity if you're talking about purely offering the old school either break fix or something like, you know, providing monitoring or backup or any of the other things that have now become commoditized. Yeah. I think if you're in a service business, a true service business as a managed managed service provider, that that's not as much of a case. And maybe that's the reason why it's 50-50, right? Maybe it's,
yeah,
I'm on the 50% that doesn't believe that, and there's a 50% that does believe that.
Well, it's funny that you talk about this because, and we all know how I like a good anecdote. I have a relatively newish client who called me up and was questioning their bill, right? And they're on our pro plan. So it's $75 a computer just to be in. With that $75, you get monitoring, maintenance, software updates, and then everything else is hourly on top of it. And his response was, because we did a lot of work for them, they're moving email servers, we're doing a whole bunch of stuff, and they got a pretty hefty bill from us. And he goes, I've never had such a large bill from an IT company ever. And I was like, well, in all fairness, your old IT company did you wrong and sucked. And also he's like, but Macs just work. Why should I be paying this much for Macs? And I was like, you're right. The Macs do work because one, we're taking care of them in the background. And two, the reason you're paying this bill has nothing to do with your computers. It comes down to your users. And when I was talking to someone else at that company and I was like, I'm going to send you a bill for this. And he goes, user error. And I was like, user error. And like that connection has to be made. So especially on the Apple side, because the Macs just work mentality, like what am I paying for? It's to make sure that your stuff is still working right. And like, I understand if you're coming at, you know, and you're not doing a good job for the client or like they keep bugging you for things, whether that's a miscommunication or you're literally not doing a good job, cool. But the race to the bottom part of the commoditization of, you know what, this is true. Years ago, I went to a BNI meeting. I'm sure I've told this story before, but I went to a BNI meeting and I happened to have been, I was a guest at someone else's, in New York City, there's like 75 BNI groups, right? So I was a guest at someone's group. And I happened to be the day, for those who don't know, BNI is a big networking group where everybody gives referrals. And technically, you're supposed to be one of any industry there. And I always used to be able to get through because there's always a IT person there. But I was like, well, I only do Mac. So they let me in anyway. And there's always one person who's doing like a presentation that day. And it happened to be the day that the PC guy was there doing a presentation. And in his presentation, he's talking about his pricing model. And he goes, and we're the best and we're the cheapest and we do this. And Justin, what do you charge per endpoint? And I was like, $150. And he's like, $150? That's ridiculous. We only charge $39 a device per month. And I was like, are you kidding me right now? And I went over to the person who's in charge and I was like, this is what your group is about? Just bashing one another? Thanks, bye. And I walked out. You're going to have to blur out the fact that I just flipped the bird on camera. And that was years ago. We're talking about 2010. And that person was commoditizing the product then. Because you're right. If you're selling just monitor, if you're selling your product as, I'm going to take care of yourself and we're going to do monitoring and maintenance or nothing else, that's a commodity. I'm going to manage your Office 365 for you. That's a commodity. But if you're providing services and value, that is price driven. And if you are being pressured by price, you're not giving good enough service. You're not giving good enough value. And if you think that other people, if your client is going, well, you charge 200 and Joe Schmo charges 100, be like, when Joe Schmo doesn't do XYZ because we're providing you this value, this thing, on site, hands on, covering your stuff, wiping your butt, doing whatever it takes, and you're showing that value. If that's what you're against, if Joe Schmo is literally doing all of that for $100, questionable your price. But if they're not, and you should know what they're doing because you should know your competition in town, that's the leg you stand on. So you're right. Pricing pressure is, I would say, 75% made up in people's minds, and it shouldn't be. You know what I mean? Like, I think 25% of us know what it's like to not have to deal with pricing pressure because we're providing enough value to the clients. That way, this doesn't become a problem.
Right. And to go back to your Microsoft 365 example, right? Microsoft 365 out of the box is not secure, right?
You called it Microsoft 365.
No, I did not.
You did. Sorry, I had to interrupt you because...
Okay, well, we're going to replay that right now to see if I actually did.
Go for it.
And before we find out whether or not I really did say Microsoft 365, another sponsor. This episode is sponsored by Gozinta Mobius. Gozinta Mobius connects ConnectWise Manage to QuickBooks Online to generate invoices and update Manage with payment status. Gozinta connects your systems together to make sure you enter your data once, and it goes into all the systems that it should. Find out more at atmsp.link/Gozinta.
Microsoft 365 out of the box.
I'm just picturing Clippy. I'm just picturing Clippy being like, hey. All right, anyway. Yes, Microsoft 365 out of the box is not secure.
Continue. Right, so your value as an MSP is to add the tools and the experience and the knowledge on top of that to make sure that their Microsoft 365 instance is secure. Now, should you include that in the margin that you make on 365? Hella no.
You should be adding that as a new line item. Actually, correct. It's funny because I was someone in the ACES Slack, which is one of the many Slacks I'm in, was asking about email spam protection because they're not getting enough margin on whatever tool they're using. And I had mentioned Avanon, which I think is a great tool, hashtag not a sponsor. And Avanon Complete Protect, which is something that we resell, covers email, collaborative tools, and chat, and gives you access to, like, it's phishing and DLP and malware and URL rewrites and shadow IT and a whole bunch of stuff. And I really like it. And there was two other people who were having a conversation within this thread about this and questioning, do you add it into their email license? And I didn't get a chance to write back, but someone was like, yeah, I have it be their email license plus their spam. So they make it one line item, Office 365 plus email protection. And that, and I don't think it should be that, because I would rather do it as a separate line item. Office 365 licenses are X and email protection is X, because sometimes one, those two things may not be in line in terms of numbers. And two, if for whatever reason the client wants to leave Office 365 and go to Google, I can keep the email protection line item without changing a whole bunch of stuff. There's also the perceived value of reading it on an invoice as a separate line item, because that's something a lot of people don't think about, is what the perceived value from the client side of things. This is why also when we talk about invoicing, if you're going to do something for free, send an invoice and mark it as a 100% discount, because it's perceived value. This, in their mind, your client's mind, allows them to recognize there is value against this item. If you have it as one group thing, they're going to see Office 365 plus email security. They're going to go, I thought Office 365 is the email security, you know, and it's not. It's a separate item. Even if you're selling just Defender, if you're doing Defender for email or whatever they're calling it these days, separate line item. Don't include it in. Everything should be broken down, because you don't want a misinterpretation of the value of that item. And that's actually how another way you can get through those pricing problems, because then you can then ultimately say, also, if Joe Schmo is going to provide email security and his email security is cheaper than your email security, you get to say to the client, well, before you jump ship, and it's cool if you do, just here's the list of everything we're doing in your email security. What's theirs doing? Because if they're charging you $2 and I'm charging you $10, it's not the same product. And that also helps you get through that pricing pressure problem.
Yeah. Now, see, I go the other way on my personal preference for pricing model. See what I did there?
I saw that alliteration.
Hey, I took English in high school. Anyway, I actually like to obscure my pricing, right? Yeah. I want a per user price. This includes all of the things that they need. And that way, if I need to swap things out, I can. They don't know what I'm using. They also can't price shop me against my own vendor who might sell direct as well.
I've had that problem before with companies that shall go unnamed, but I'm going to giggle because you know who I'm talking about. My pricing is going to be MSRP pricing, Because a product like Avanon, I'm not going to get into the margins in case any of my clients are listening, but a product like Avanon, if you're using a wholesaler like PAX 8, there's a reason I'm using Avanon. And if you don't know, go to PAX 8 and go look up Avanon and go look at the difference, right? I will never sell more than MSRP to avoid that problem. And your way totally makes sense. I get what you're saying. Sometimes you want to be able to sell. I used to be of that mindset. The problem that I'm running into now is so many tools are sticking their name in wherever they can that it's almost hard to obscure a lot of that stuff. Case in point, years ago when we started using a product called Jump Cloud, which we've pretty much done away with because I do not like that product anymore, my clients had no idea what Jump Cloud was. We installed the agent. It ran. We put the application in a hidden folder. They just knew that they used the same username and password for email as they did their computer, as they did their Synology. And then one day, Jump Cloud decided to update something. And all of a sudden, there was a cloud icon in my clients' menu bars. And they all went, what's this? What's Jump Cloud? And I had to explain. And I had to back roll out of it because I was charging them probably double what Jump Cloud's MSRP was. And so that became a bit of contention that I said to myself, I'm never going to do that again, which is why I've gone with the more transparent model. And look, they both work. It depends on what you're selling. There's plenty of things that we still obscure, sure, but only in terms of products like that can't be detected. So a great example is Watchman Monitoring. Watchman Monitoring was a great product. It's now owned by Synchro. I don't know what's happening with it. But Watchman Monitoring, one of the key elements of Watchman Monitoring was that an end user or a client could never find out that it was Watchman Monitoring. Because if they, all the URLs were different, it wasn't watchmanmonitoring.com. All the URLs were like monitoringclient.com. And if you went there, it said, please log into your monitoring client with no labeling and no icons and no coloring and no anything. And unless you were smart enough to go like do a who is and try to get through the privacy, you know, whatever the domain privacy is to figure out who it was, which most clients wouldn't, like, you don't know. You just think, oh, monitoring client must be owned by Virtual Computers or whoever your MSP is at the time. So that's why I was fine with obscuring that one. But in a product like Avanon, Avanon sends weekly update emails. And yes, we have stuck our logo on it. Yes, we have made our colors. But somewhere along the line, that will break. Somewhere along the line, it'll say powered by Avanon. Somewhere along the line, someone's going to backtrack. The email is going to say from Virtual Computer Security System at Avanon.com or whatever. So it's pick and choose, really, I think, for how much you could obscure and what you could be transparent about. But that comes down to know your tools, be honest and clear. And if you can, do. If you can't, don't. But you can still make money on it. But at the end of the day, back to what we're talking about, pricing pressure, there are plenty of ways to get around that problem. I'm on the side of, you should be good enough. If you've been doing this long enough, you should be good enough to not have to worry about pricing pressure.
Yes, agreed. All right, so we dug into that one quite a bit.
Yeah.
I'd like to switch to more of the future prediction. You know, what are the MSPs that have been performing better? What have they been doing? And I know the first one, the highest percentage one, is something that you did because you've talked about it on the show before. And that is employing a CFO or an equivalent financial professional. Yeah. And, you know, you've told the story before where you actually outsourced a CFO to go over your books and make sure things looked right. And so I know you can speak to this one from personal experience.
I think everyone should do this at least once if you don't have a bookkeeping service or a good accountant that has bookkeeping services. Before we get into the details of just the CFO part, one of the things that this part is leaned on is the idea of a better business acumen, which if you scroll up a little bit, it's right there in this article. And it says 60% of the channel companies say their business skills need work in areas like financial forecasting, budgeting, financial analysis, cost control, cash flow, taxes, legal, and compliance issues. And I'm going to extend that because what's missing from there is I wouldn't be surprised if in those same 60, you also need help with marketing, management, HR, and all the other things that we don't do because most MSP owners are technical minded and you're not skilled in these other things. So let's go to the CFO part. Absolutely. I think one of the biggest things about being in IT is like, we're really good at solving problems, right? Like that's at the end of the day, like the key element of what makes us special, but that doesn't mean we can solve all problems, and you may not be good with numbers. So like hiring somebody like a CFO, not even a full-time, just a fractional CFO or some sort of bookkeeping service to make sure your stuff is on the up and up is definitely something you should be looking at, because I think every one of us as MSP owners should be desperately looking at our soft skills and bringing in people who are not doing that. And we talked about this a little bit on our outsourcing episode or two-part episode, where we talked about outsourcing marketing and we talked about outsourcing legal and we outsourced CFO. Here's the thing. I don't know a single MSP who was like, I was a lawyer and now I'm an MSP, right? Therefore, you as the MSP owner who was never a lawyer cannot write your contract that you have with your clients. So you outsource it because you know that the brains are better somewhere else. So it's the same thing with the CFO. If you're not good with money, if you're not good at keeping a check register, if you're not good with financial forecasting and planning, do a fractional CFO. This fractional CFO that we worked with actually even gave me an Excel document where I was able to like plug in numbers and play with it to be like, okay, what can my forecasting look like if we stayed stagnant, if we did 2%, if we did minus 2%, if we did 10%, and it allowed me to figure out where all, because she broke down all of our categorizations, which is came out of our P&L from QuickBooks. So our sections are, you know, software and payroll and marketing and all the other things. And adjusting those numbers, those percentages, auto-adjusted all the other ones to figure out what how much money. So if argumentatively we made 5% more money, the system was like, okay, it had weighted scores. So it said put 1.35% of that 5% into marketing. Put 0.78% into payroll, point whatever. And I can't develop that on my own, but this person could, for the money we paid them, definitely helpful. So yeah, I think a lot of people, I think this number is a little high. And if it's not high, I think then that's a problem for a lot of MSPs. Because if 80% are employing a CFO or an equivalent financial professional, that means up until now, and this is traits of firms performing better than 2 years ago. So if 80% of them from 2 years ago have now hired a CFO, I think we were in a lot more trouble 2 years ago than we are now.
Oh, you know what yeah, I'm saying? For sure. Yeah. Right. But, you know, it is overwhelmingly, because the next highest number is 55%, right? So this is overwhelmingly the one common denominator between MSPs that did well and MSPs that did not do well.
Yeah.
You know, that's what this number tells me. And by the way, this is not an MSP problem. This is a small business problem.
Oh, absolutely.
Because what happens is most small businesses deal with the financial results of what has already happened. They don't do the planning, the predictive, the things that you were talking about, you know, just a few minutes ago.
And just because I have that document doesn't mean I use it. I just want people to like, I want people to understand the truth. Like, I have it. Doesn't mean I'm using it properly. But I know I have it and it's valuable for me to use it. I just haven't yet. But having the CFO look over our stuff, and we're trying to engage with a new bookkeeping firm who's going to keep our stuff up to date and keep me abreast of that information a little bit better, massively helpful. So if you haven't worked with a fractional CFO before, start there, because that's not terribly expensive. And just make sure that, like, you might think you're in a good place, but like have a professional take a look at, you know, you feel healthy and then you go see the doctor and the doctor is like, you need to stop eating bacon. And you're like, what? I love bacon. Like, it's the same thing. You know, you look good on the outside and you feel healthy and you're not, it's just like something's a little off. You're not sure. Yeah. That's what a CFO will do for your finances.
Yep. All right. Well, there is a lot to talk about in this report, but unfortunately, Justin, we have come up to the end of another episode.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know if it's more sad for me or the listener. Let me know if you're sad. Yeah, let me know if you're sad that our episodes are only 30 minutes long. You can find me and Eric at facebook.com/groups/allthingsMSP or watch how this whole episode went down on StreamYard and whether or not Eric blurs out me flipping the bird earlier in this episode at youtube.com/@allthingsMSP. Like and subscribe on all of the favorite platforms. We're everywhere. Leave a review. Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. You should leave a review. I was going to say, or don't, but don't. Do leave a review.
And even that's if it's it. A bad one.
Even if it's a bad one. Just tell us you love us. That's it. Yeah, that's Eric. I'm Justin. That's the end of this one. Bye!
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform. You can also follow us on Facebook, but better yet, go ahead and join the Facebook group. You can also follow us on Instagram, if that's your thing. And make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel, @AllThingsMSP, to catch us in all of our video glory. And last, but certainly not least, if LinkedIn is your thing, you can follow us there as well. And a special thank you to our premier sponsors, SuperOps, MoveBot, Gozinta, EasyDMark, and ComTech. And we also want to thank our vendor sponsors. The All Things MSP podcast is a BizPow LLC production.